John chapter 4, verse 1 said, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Now, I want you to see something here before I even go on this. I just want to point something out to you. This woman is a Samaritan. At best, she is a half-breed Jew. But she sure does claim Jacob, doesn't she? See, the Samaritans, when the Assyrians came in and took after the kingdom divided and became Judah and Israel, when the Assyrians came in and captured Israel and Sennacherib and those people, and they came in and did that, they pulled out the Jews and sent them away, and they brought in people from other lands and put them in there. That's one of the ways they control people. They would take them out and they would put them in a foreign land. So rather than thinking about rebellion and home and all that, they had to either try to find their way back home, or they had to just try to figure out how to live. All right? And so that's what they did if you read your Old Testament. And the Samaritans, they hated the Samaritans, not just because of the history of idolatry there with the calves that Jeroboam put up at Dan and Bethel, but also the fact that a lot of these people were mixed race. They were Jew and Gentile mix in a lot of, and some of them were out and out Gentiles. So there was a hatred among them. But isn't it amazing? And there's a lot of people in this world who say they're saved, but they're not. They claim Christ, but they don't know him. Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people. Just because you know about something doesn't mean you know someone. There's a difference. So I just want you to think about that. So everybody, I'm just warning everybody, all of us, something we all got to pay attention to. And anyway, let's go on and read. Jesus answered and saith unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Have you noticed to this ignorant woman, he told her directly, but to the people that were supposed to know the scriptures, he didn't proclaim himself? Have you noticed that? And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. And saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit of the life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that one saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't that amazing? The Samaritans, who weren't really looking for Christ, they knew about him, but they got saved. And the Jews didn't get saved. Now, I like to preach this past. I have an old message that I titled Water Pot Religion that I like to preach out of this. It's a favorite. If you ever have a favorite sermon, I like to preach that sermon out of there. It's just something that's kind of go through there. But I'm not talking about that today. There's so many things there, this whole thing that we could unpack. But I just want to look at verse 21 and through 24. And I just want to focus on that for just a few minutes this evening, this afternoon. It says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, just so much there for us to take note of and pay attention to. And Lord, I pray as we read the Bible that you'd help us to just pay attention and think about what we're reading. And I pray you'd open our eyes so we could see what you have for us as we read. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us in this short time that we have this afternoon. Just help us to look at the Word of God and to just allow it to have its work in our hearts. Just receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God, not the Word of men. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. The woman's there at the well, and she comes to Jesus, and of course they're going back and forth. It's kind of always amazing how she just kept throwing accusation and accusation against the Lord, didn't she? You know, first he was a no-count Jew, and then she had to appeal to Jacob. You know, this well, we got this well. This was Jacob's well. We got this well. You Jews don't have this well. we got as well. You know, we could go on that, and she's trying to figure that, and finally she says, our fathers worshipped here. Mom and daddy worshipped here. Grandma and grandpa worshipped here. And you Jews, you think the only place you can worship is Jerusalem. You know, that superiority. Almost like some fellow saying, well, I can worship God out on the golf course. I can worship God in the deer stand. Well, sure you can. But there are certain times when you ought to be somewhere where God's appointed, right?
That's right.
All right. Yeah, you ought to be worshiping God every day of your life.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, you ought to worship the Lord. But worship is not just singing a song. It's a way of life. It's being a living sacrifice. That's real worship. But anyway, we could get on to that. But he said to her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you know not. We know what we worship for salvations of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that is a very simple thing. And this woman, until she believed on Jesus Christ, was totally incapable of worshiping God in the manner that he wants to be worshiped. You can't worship God in spirit and in truth if you're lost. It's impossible. There are churches, there are whole churches today that are worshiping God, but really not really. They say they're worshiping God. There are churches where people are truly worshiping God, but there are folks in the pew that are not worshiping God. And there may be somebody behind the pulpit in a lot of these churches that are not worshiping God. That's possible. Let's just be honest about this thing, be open about it, and understand it. But notice he says there, he says that you know not what you worship. You worship what you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvations of the Jews. In other words, the Jews had the truth. Over in the book of Romans, I'm trying to remember the actual chapter of the verse, but the question was asked, what advantage is there to be a Jew? And Paul said much chiefly, but particularly what he was talking about was unto them were committed the oracles of God. I'm trying to remember that.
Chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay, thank you, brother. Chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage is? Well, the advantage was that the Jews had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. God had given it to them. And that's why he said, you know not what you worship, because they decided to go out and make up their own religion. And that's what they did. That's the way most people are. Most people today make up their own religion. They don't believe the religion of the Bible. A lot of people that profess to be Christians make up their own religion.
Yeah.
I was in the meeting yesterday, and I was talking to Brother Larry a while ago. I was in the meeting for the jail ministry, and bless their hearts, they mean well. I know they mean well, and I'm glad for any good they do, and I'm not just being critical, and I'm not saying we're better than anybody else or anything like that. But the fella got up there, and the chaplain got up there, and he said, we don't want you to go in there to try to teach doctrine. And there was a chorus of amens. Well, then what are you going to teach? I mean, the devil makes doctrine a dirty word. And I understand what he might have been trying to say. You want to teach the Bible, but the Bible is doctrine.
That's it.
And God only has one doctrine. When you look at the word doctrine in the Bible, you have doctrines, plural, of devils. You have doctrines, plural, of men. And then you have the doctrine, which is according to godliness.
Yep.
God only has one doctrine. But you can't go into anywhere and not teach doctrine. You have to. If you don't teach doctrine, and I'm talking about the Bible, the Word of God, if you don't teach it rightly, divide the Word of truth and teach it faithfully, then you are teaching nothing. You're teaching a doctrine of men or a doctrine of devils. But you have to teach doctrine. And he may want to say you don't teach your own little pet doctrines, and I understand that. But you know, the truth of the matter is, everybody that goes in there thinks they're right, don't they? Yep. And they have this idea of worshiping the Lord in spirit, and most of them have the idea, and they equate the Holy Ghost with their feelings, how they feel in a given moment. Well, I need to feel the Spirit. I'm not against you feeling something when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, but if you're looking at the feeling instead of the message from God, you got a problem. There's a lot of things that cause feeling. I was listening to a song this morning. The Doucettes put out a new album, and they have a song there called "No One Else." And I tell you what, I was listening to that song, and it was a blessing. It talks about no one else could take the burden from me. No one else could melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on Calvary. No one else could do what he's done. It talks about him coming down from heaven, being born of a virgin. It talks about him shedding his blood, ascending to heaven. It talks about him taking a wicked heart and making it white as snow, and all the different things like that, and taking a broken life and making it whole, and all that type of stuff. It talks about it. It's a very pretty song. And you know, I sat there, I was listening to that song this morning, and you ever listen to something or and it just gives you goosebumps, right? And boy, I got goosebumps. I was just listening to the song, and it just gave me goosebumps. But you know, there's another song that I used to listen to when I was growing up, when I was a teenager and all that. There was a woman called, her name was Juice Newton, and she sang a song called "Angel of the Morning." And there's the funny thing about it, there's one part of the song where she sings that she hits a really high note, and you know what happens to me every time I hear that song? I used to do it when I was growing up. It'd give me goosebumps. And I heard it another time, and guess what happened? I got goosebumps. It's just that tone, pitch, or whatever it was, affects me somehow. Caused goosebumps. The moral of the story is, my goosebumps are not the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost, I can get excited, and I can feel, and I can have emotion, and it may cause goosebumps. But the bottom line is, if I'm going to worship the Lord, it's not a matter of how I am feeling. It's not a way of an experience I have in that regard. It's a matter of Spirit and truth. Being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, being yielded to the Spirit of God, and then focusing on the truth of the Word of God. If you go to John chapter 17 in your Bibles, where the true Lord's Prayer is, where Jesus actually prayed for his disciples and for us today, he said in verse 17, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, you have a church at Ephesus who had the truth part right, but they left their first love. Right? They kind of faltered at the spirit part. In other words, they got to themselves and they said, "We're right, they're all wrong, we proved it on them. They're liars, we proved they're liars by the Word of God." But Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works. Get yourself back up where you start listening to God again, where you just open your heart to God. Go back to the very beginning, the day you got saved, when you just said everything God said about you was 100% true. You were a sinner deserving to go to hell, and He was your only hope. And Jesus shed blood was the only thing to wash away your sins, and you agreed fully and wholly with Him. And that's the way we ought to be when we get into church. We ought to just come being prepared to agree with God. And we ought to study the Word of God so we know the truth. We're studying to show ourselves that dirty word, Brother Larry, right? Study. We were kind of laughing about that earlier, about, 2 Timothy, 2:15, where he's talking about study, show thyself approved unto God. Did I get the right verse quote? All right. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He was talking about a preacher one time come up and said, we're gonna talk about a dirty word for you people and everything like that. And the word was study. But we ought to study to know the truth, rightly divide the word of truth, the study of God's word and the truth. We ought to have the attitude, like it says in Psalm 119, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Therefore I hate every false way. That's the idea. And have your, not just know the truth, but then be open to the truth. Yield it to the Spirit of God, saying, this is true. This is what I need to be. This is what needs to change in me. This is what is right. This is what's good. This is what's holy. We talked this morning about serving God. There's a lot of people that think it's just an imposition to try to really serve God the way the Bible says we ought to serve God. With a heart the way we ought to have. But it's not an imposition. Is it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. We hear that all the time, don't we? It's almost like we sit there and say, I gotta give my whole body to God. I gotta give everything to God. That's just too much. That's just not fair. What about me? What about my wants? What about my desires? What about my needs? Oh, you better be glad some of these people that we look up in the Bible, they didn't do that. Brother Isaiah, when he saw the Lord lifted up, he said, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. We, instead of saying that, we'll say, here am I. The first words out of the apostle Paul's mouth when he got saved was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That ought to be the way we do it. That yielding is how we worship the Lord in spirit. And the Bible, the Word of God, is how we worship the Lord in truth. We yield ourselves to the truth of God's Word. That's how we worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And it's a step-by-step thing, just like being filled with the Spirit. It's something that's ongoing, something that has to be pursued. It's a command to be obeyed. Likewise with this, it's talking about worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. It's a matter of coming and having that idea of hearing the Word of God. Wanting to understand the truth. When we hear a hymn, if that hymn doesn't line up with the truth, all of a sudden that ought to make us uncomfortable. That's why I have a hard time with a lot of the so-called Christian music of this world, of this day and age, because a lot of it doesn't line up with the Bible. It lines up with what people feel and what they want and what they've been taught. Another fellow was talking about his discipleship thing, and he's, you know, and he actually said the words, it's not just about salvation, it's about discipleship. Discipleship's the most important thing. Well, discipleship's worthless if somebody didn't get saved. You can't disciple lost folks. Have to be born again. It's hard enough to disciple saved folks, much less disciple lost folks. Unless the lost folk thinks that by going through the course and completing the course that they've got righteousness with God, and therefore they're right before God. And people do that. I'm just simply saying we've got to get to the point where we just say, you know what? I'm going to just yield my spirit to the Lord. I'm coming to church today and I'm going to worship God in spirit and truth. I'm just going to open up and let Him have His way. Whatever you say to me, Lord, that's okay. Just tell me the truth. Give me what I need. And then learn the truth and say, this is what's right. This is good. That's the way we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of different things we can do here. But there's some things we do. We do because it's a matter of truth. We lose track of it. Right? So we get up here and I say, open your hymn books to such and such thing. Okay, what hymn we got to do? We're going to sing three hymns. And I might sing three hymns. I might sing four hymns. I might sing five hymns. I might get up here one day and just keep singing. I don't know. But we'll see how it works. But the bottom line is, what does the Bible say? Come before His presence with singing. Well, if you look at it, well, this is just the way we do things. That's one thing. But if you look at it, is, hey, we're coming to the presence of the Lord. That's why we're singing today. Now, that's a different story, isn't it? That's different. And He says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That's what delights Him. There's no greater delight that you could have than to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There's no greater delight that the Lord would have, the Father would have. That's what He seeks such to worship Him that way. God's a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It's the Spirit of God that speaks to us, and it's through the Spirit of God that we speak back to Him by the truth. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not trying to make this big and theological. It's really quite simple. It's the Word of God and just yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Yes. Speak to me, Lord. Now, some of us like little Samuel. God's trying to speak to our heart and we're running off saying, what? And finally he got some good teaching. For all the failure that Eli had as a priest, he at least had sense enough to say, to perceive that the Lord was talking to Samuel, and he said, if you hear it again, just say, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. That'd be a good thing for us to do. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Yes. I'm your servant. Just tell me what to do. Just make me to understand it, and I'm on board 100%. I'll do it. Just tell me. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God, and I just pray You'd help us to just see the simple truth that's here, that we need to yield our spirit to You. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And we need to be filled with Your truth, with Your Word. You told us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's so many things that we're supposed to do, Lord, and we can't do them right unless your Spirit guides us. We can't worship you right unless we worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, help us not to depart from the truth of your word and not to depart from dependence upon your Spirit to guide us. Help us, we pray, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.